Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
But right now, we got to talk to our man, Brian McFadden. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is also a CBS NFL analyst, does a great podcast as well called All Things Covered. B, I want to start with the Falcons and kind of recap with that before we get to this weekend's games and get your opinions. So frustrating to see the season end the way it did. What's your evaluation of the Falcons, the way things were handled this season, Raheem Morris, just the whole kit and caboodle?
I have mixed views. I have mixed views because to be, 6-3 in the first 9 ball games, to have complete control over the division, just to see it all squander away in the last month of the season is disappointing. It's disappointing. But we did see some good things from the Atlanta Falcons. Number one, Michael Penix Jr., he looks like he's QB1. I mean, in the short sample size of what we've watched with him, he can sling it. The moment never was too big for him. That's a bright spot. I think moving forward, when you talked about Coach Raheem, you know, being at the helm this season, he went through some growing pains. He has to learn. I think clock management is an issue. I think he has to become better in that area. And also, too, I think he needs to become better at making, you know, decisions that might not be seen as the best thing in terms of what the masses might say. Because one would say, and you guys could correct me if I'm wrong, if he made the move to start Michael Penix sooner than what he did, the Falcons probably would have gotten into the playoffs. Now, there's a lot of ifs, right? If hindsight was 2020, we'd all be in a better position. But just the lookout of things from what I watch, from my view, you know, those are my sentiments.
Yeah, that's the thing, B. We had some moments, and no one could ever have ever foreseen Kirk Cousins falling apart the way he did. But there were still moments to get the game back. And I know we spent a lot of time talking about those, you know, decisions in the Commanders game. But even though you did have a slim chance and you needed the Saints to win, I just think that's the worst possible taste you could leave in the fans' mouth, is to look that bad on defense in the last game of the season.
To Bryce Young.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Now, Bryce Young has been playing inspired football since returning in the starting lineup. But you cannot allow Bryce Young to look like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. No, not in a win-or-go-home scenario, right? Everything was in the middle of the table. Now, you still needed some help, and you didn't get the necessary help that you needed. But what if you did? Right? To your point, fans usually, you know, the last thing they see is the last thing they talk about. And for Atlanta Falcons fans, you talk about having a letdown loss at home to the Carolina Panthers led by Bryce Young, where he just was unstoppable in a game in which you needed to win.
All right. And look, we can talk about whether they would have or should have fired coaches. They didn't. Terry Fontenot spoke to the media. We're just wrapping up our Falcons conversation here with BMAC before we talk about some of these games, the wild card weekend. But what did you think there? Would you have moved on from any of these guys, specifically Jimmy Lake?
No. I think it was a learning experience for everyone, all parties involved in terms of the staff. Like I said, we've seen some good things, right? You look at the offense. You got young studs on the offense that will play together for quite some time. Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Michael Penix. That's a big three you can build around offensively. And you add a weapon, another weapon or so. All right, you like that. Defensively, I think that was the bigger surprise in terms of the letdown of performances on that side of the ball. You have to continue to add talent on that side of the ball to be relevant. In terms of the coaching, like I said, it was growing pains, but I don't think making a necessary move and firing, you know, any significant individual in terms of the staff is probably the way to go. Unless you're telling me option B is better than option A. And if you look at the entire landscape of the NFL, there are so many vacancies, you know, in terms of head coaches, in terms of GMs, in terms of coordinators. There's only a few good individuals that can fill those vacancies. And if you're Atlanta, the thing about Atlanta is that every year, until we see otherwise, you're in a winnable division. So you're only a player or so away from winning the division. You know, we saw that last year. You know, we saw that the year before. So if you can just kind of continue to add and learn from the experiences from this season, you should be in a better spot next year.
Hey, let me throw a crazy idea. It's Brian McFadden, Georgia's guys, two-time Super Bowl winner. We'll talk about his Steelers in dangerous ground coming up in a minute. But here's the deal. They said that Raheem Morris, I asked him the question. He said, I work in all areas. But there was reports he got more involved with the defense. We got better at getting the quarterback on the ground. He was a really good DC with the Rams, and he doesn't talk to anybody on the sideline. So why don't we make him the head coach and defensive coordinator, B? How's that?
I mean, I'm okay with that. If that can make the defense and the team better, no question. Let's look at some coordinators that actually are the head coach, but they call plays. Kevin O'Connell, right? Sean McVay, you know, Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniels. Now, the one caveat is what? All of those coaches call the offensive side, right? We rarely see a head coach who is a defensive-minded guy call plays on the defensive side. Now, we've seen instances happen where a head coach takes over the play calling on the defensive side, but starting out with that title from day one, we rarely see it. But to your point, if he is the best defensive-minded guy on the team and you have issues, no question, just take over, because that's how you got the opportunities you receive, is by being a defensive-minded guy.
All right, B, let's talk about these games in order here. We had a few minutes with you. Saturday, Chargers at Houston. I like the Chargers. It's a three-point game as we speak. Chargers are favored by three. And then we got Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Let's start with the Charger game.
I love the Chargers as well. I'm right there with you. I actually have them included in my parlay. I have the Chargers. I have two parlays going, matter of fact, for the listeners checking in. I have the Chargers winning money line parlay, and I have a teaser with the Chargers getting plus three. But I have the Chargers because they've been playing really, really good football, and I feel like in terms of playoff atmosphere, you don't want to go into the playoffs kind of limping. Yes, Houston beat the Tennessee Titans in the final week of the season, but outside of that, you guys saw the struggles. They can't protect their quarterback. It seems like C.J. Stroud has taken a step or two in the wrong direction this season, and just the chemistry and efficiency hasn't been there. And Coach Harbaugh is a heck of a coach. What we're seeing with his team doing more with less, that's been overly impressive. And I like the Chargers because they go into this ball game with a lot of confidence.
What about this Steelers game, man? I know that Lamar Jackson is always seems to be extra added pressure because, you know, he's still got to get to the Super Bowl. He's been a two-time MVP. The only thing missing from the resume is the title for the Charm City. And the Steelers and legacy on the line for Tomlin. I think a lot of folks are starting to get a little antsy about Mike Tomlin and what doesn't happen there.
You know, well, Pittsburgh Steelers fans are spoiled, Carl and Mike. They're spoiled. Like, it's only one solution. That's competing for championships. And unfortunately, they haven't been close. And we've seen moments where they look like a competitive championship-caliber team, but we've seen more moments where they don't look that way. And how many times have you seen a team go into the playoffs in the midst of a four-game regular season losing streak? Right? You don't see that. So for Pittsburgh, I'll say this much. If you had to pick your opponent and you couldn't pick Houston, I think they would pick Baltimore because of the familiarity of that side, you know, playing against them and having success against Lamar Jackson. But this is a big moment for both sides. Lamar Jackson with the regular season of success, but postseason success hasn't been there. And the Pittsburgh Steelers under Mike Tomlin, they haven't won a ball game, playoff game since 2016. Since 2016. Mm-hmm. And that's not acceptable, and that's why a lot of fans are in an uproar. I can tell you this much, though. Two things going to happen in that ball game: either Pittsburgh going to win, or they're going to get blown out. I don't see any in between where it's a close game. That's how I feel. And because of that, I excluded them. I excluded this game out of my parlay ticket, by the way, because I cannot be financially involved in a game with Pittsburgh and emotionally involved. That won't be good for my health.
No, it's not. Let's talk about Sunday. Denver at Buffalo. I like Buffalo. Green Bay at Philly. Yep. I think Philly's better. And Washington is my upset at Tampa. Tell me what you think.
I love it. I have Buffalo in that same parlay that I included the Chargers. I have the money line in the money line parlay, and I have Buffalo getting like a point and a half in my teaser. I love Philadelphia as well. Now, I'll tell you this much with Philly. Jalen Hurts, the last time we saw Jalen Hurts, he went to sleep. Like, how is he? Like, is he ready to go? Like, you know what I mean? Because the one issue with Philly, they've been getting off to slow starts. They've been finding ways to win and doing so with style points, but you don't want to get off to a slow start in a playoff game. So that's my concern about the rhythm, and will he jump right back in the saddle like he did before he went to sleep? But I do have Philly in that same parlay teaser. I got Philly getting 3 points in my teaser, and then I got them the straight up getting a money line. And then with Tampa, that's an intriguing matchup too. I have Tampa money line parlay, and then I have Tampa getting 3 points as well in my teaser. I like Tampa in that game too, guys, because Baker Mayfield, we can talk about how good Jaden Daniels have been, but what about Baker? Like, Baker threw 40 touchdowns, guys.
Right?
40 touchdowns and completed 70% of his passes. Baker has been outstanding. Now, which quarterback is going to outplay the other? I think that would be the deciding factor in that Commanders-Bucks game.
And they get Antoine Winfield back. So he's been out, and he's back for Tampa Bay as well on the defensive side. And then finally, you got the
if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Good pull. The strangeness of having to relocate to Arizona for the Vikings and the Rams. It's not like there's any home field advantage for the Rams anyway, because they never sell out. It's always the visiting fans. But do you feel Sam Darnold? I mean, we talked before you came on about how Sam Darnold was a bit, you know, I don't know. They got to him, and they really created him some bad throws. Can the Rams do likewise against the Vikes?
Yeah, and think about this, guys. When you look at the entire playoffs, all the quarterbacks in the playoffs, it feels like Sam Darnold is the one the fans trust the least. Like, you're waiting on Sam Darnold to flatline and get back to being the old Sam Darnold. It was like, and to your point, he kind of reverted back to the old Sam Darnold last week against the Detroit Lions, right? But right. To your point, with the relocating this ball game, I don't think it affects either side, especially with the game being played Monday. So travel-wise, you know, Minnesota, they're not traveling until Sunday. It's all about, you know, the adjustments, because we saw this matchup early in the year. You know, the Rams kind of, they had a field day. Matthew Stafford outplayed Sam Darnold, and, you know, they made Sam Darnold look like a pedestrian in terms of what he did numbers-wise. But I'm going to side with Minnesota, guys. I think I'm going to side with Minnesota, and because they kind of got kicked in the mouth last week, and usually that kind of wakes you up. You know what I mean? We didn't see Justin Jefferson doing Justin Jefferson-like things. The same could be said for Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson. And that's the one sweet spot against the Rams' defense. You can have success against their secondary if you can hold up just long enough with their quarterback in the pocket. So I have Minnesota in that one. And like I said, money line Minnesota in my tease, I have Minnesota getting 3.5.
Good stuff. B-Mac, man, enjoy the weekend. Be safe, and appreciate you as always. Enjoy the games, brother.
All right, thank you for having me.